This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Another gorgeous day. Not crazy about it getting back in the 80s, but it's like, it's one of those where you keep feeling, this time.
Well, the windows are better getting smaller,
time.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of 5 days, it's two or three.
And I guess if it's going to be like that, the weekends are the right time to do it. You know, get out and do some stuff, yard work, blah, blah, blah. And then next Monday, it feels like this is the time, because next Monday, the high is like 60.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that's 60. Sweet. Cool. Down to 38 at night.
Which, by the way, is way better for outdoor work.
Agreed.
80s is the war. 80s and above, like, it's sweat city, man.
Saturday. Did you get another damn haircut?
Wow.
Today, yeah.
It's even shorter.
Postponed it last week.
This is the last one was like 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Do you have a crush on the lady or whatever?
I mean, she's great, but no. I just like my hair short because I'm lazy.
Man.
It's not my girlfriend.
It's easy to manage.
I feel like Brandon cuts my hair.
I feel like you're dunking on me.
What?
She's just a friend.
Right. I just hear
just
every
a friend of my
eight
barber.
Days.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm just really lazy, so the shorter the better.
I feel like I feel like that's the opposite
it's
of laziness.
No, it's not, because you've seen my hair. The longer it gets, the more it takes to keep it from looking ridiculous. This just looks this way. And it's going to look this way
like
for a month.
You are somehow still less lazy than Ronj, who he just wears a hat.
That's right.
Because he doesn't want to brush his hair. It'll take 7 seconds.
What's the longest you've had your hair? Because you have a nice head of hair.
That's what I said. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's stupid.
Probably
in high school. I tried to go for a Kurt Cobain look.
Oh!
I had it really long.
Yeah.
But here's the secret to the Kurt Cobain look. You had to have not washed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, it gets
Valiant.
Poofy.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
You also have to be a famous rock star.
That just looks like a mushroom instead.
Yeah, I would look like Napoleon Dynamite if I let my hair go long.
Nick has really nice hair, and he'll grow it out about as long as Amy's, and then he cut it like shoulder length and look just like Lord Farquaad.
Yes, remember he did that,
Shrek,
a year ago,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Lord.
I enjoyed that one.
Did you call him that?
Oh, yeah.
Little Lord Farquaad here.
Lots of memes.
Was that also, did Prince Valium have that hairdo?
Valiant, yeah, not Valium. Prince Valiant.
No,
Valium from Spaceballs.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, it's ripped off of
Boy,
the other
you
guy.
Jumped
yeah.
in to correct you on that
I know,
one.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
that was
Prince
the spoof
Valium.
Of him. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I love Prince Valium. He's so relaxed.
He's not a stupid.
Can I tell you guys, he's not a stupid. It's a good Mario. Can I tell you about my first night sitting vigil with One Dies Alone last night?
Oh, yeah.
So some woo-woo things kind of happened. So it was really amazing. Unlike, obviously, anything I've ever done before. Like literally everything I've ever done before is in one bucket, and then this is in another. When you're in a room with a person who's actively dying and you're responsible, like I'm not the nurse, clearly, but responsible, like that was really something. And I can't say too much because I'm technically an employee of Bethesda and under HIPAA, so you can't like identify the person or say things that would be identifying. But he was a Beatles fan and I played Beatles music, and I was partnered with Andrea, who was amazing. And here's a couple of the coincidences I thought were really interesting. So it was at the same facility where my mom passed away, and it was two doors down. Mm. So that was like, oh, yeah, yep. Room 305. And then Andrea was the person who met me when I got to the facility when my mom had passed away. And she's amazing. She does this probably more than any other volunteer. And she was great and really helped me out last night and gave me really great training. And it was 2 hours, and it was incredibly meaningful. And I got through it, and now I feel like I can do it on my own. And then when I was getting ready to leave, my big thing with my mom is I brushed her hair all the time. And she had this little hairbrush. And I left it on purpose in case anyone wanted it. And when I left, it was on this gentleman's dresser.
Oh.
Right?
Man. Yeah.
That, I mean, that was like, again, I'm not a big one on signs or like, oh, mom saying hello. That was something. Walking out at 10 p.m. and seeing my mom's hairbrush on this guy's dresser. That was real. That was like a tingle went up my back.
Mm. Wow.
Like a little.
Did you do a double take? Like, was that really?
But it's a really, really distinctive hairbrush. It's clearly hers.
Okay.
Like that wasn't in question. It was, and it's not like, how would this happen? Well, gave it to this guy who had a lot of hair. But it was still like going through that very intense experience and then walking out and seeing one of your mom's possessions in this guy's possession was really something. Hmm. So.
Did you wish that you still had possession of it?
No, I thought about, I thought about that. Like maybe asking the family, hey, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I got that back? But no, I kind of felt more like you put it into the universe and
okay.
It's this guy. And
makes
maybe
perfect sense.
You know, not that handing off a hairbrush is any big deal, but yeah. So it was really, really interesting and fulfilling. So I'm glad I did it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Can you stay as long as you want, or is it just two-hour
shifts? It's two-hour shifts, but like a guy named Mike relieved me and Andrea at 10 p.m. We could have, hey, do you mind if we hang out? Like, he would have been totally cool. The volunteers seem like a very tight unit of people. You know, like, hey, I get it. I see what you're doing. I'm doing the same thing. You need me to leave early. You want me to stay late. So that it's like a real camaraderie.
Do you think you're going to do it, like, again? Or you have to think about it for
probably tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the gentleman's still hanging in there. So I'll probably go back tonight. And it's, you know, there are shifts going from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m. And one of these days, I may try to do like a 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift because I wake up so early. I don't get up. Mm. But I usually wake up around 4 a.m. I could wake up an hour earlier and go in and do that. What I don't think I can do on school nights is to do like a midnight to 2.
That's a lot.
Then I just wouldn't sleep Then the monkey's dead. So
this is not a question out of disrespect, but I mean, because of the respect, are there rules like, hey, you can't be on your phone or you have to be a certain level of presence?
Yeah. Suggestions. Andrea and I did it together last night. You always do the first one with a mentor, and we were talking in hushed tones, but we were talking, you know, and I told her, I said, everyone's different, and you're watching your patients, what you call them, you're watching your patient, and if they seem like annoyed, whatever it is, like you're playing music and they seem annoyed, you stop the music. If you're talking and they seem annoyed, you stop talking. But he seemed very comfortable, and it was very sweet. He was non-communicative, but when I was playing Beatles songs, and when certain ones would come on, he would smile.
Oh,
that was very cool.
Yeah.
That was super cool.
Because I would imagine that even talking in hushed tones, that could be a comfort to someone.
It would to me.
Because you're not alone and you're hearing the world. You don't want to feel isolated.
Yeah.
So, for instance, let's say you didn't know he liked Beatles or whatever, but you could sit there and maybe listen to something quietly. Like, you're not expected to sit in silence and stare at the wall.
No. Okay. No. I'm sure that, because it's 2 hours, the person is not really talking to you. And if you're by yourself, which 9 times out of 10 you are, I don't think there'd be anything wrong at all with looking at your phone or, you know, but they'd like you to engage. And, you know, we're holding his hand and, you know, stroking his hair and things like that. So just to let him know you're there.
How often are one of these patients not, because you said this, that most of them are non-communicative, but are there times where they're alert?
Yeah, this gentleman was opening his eyes a bit and kind of focusing in, but then he would go, you know,
right
back into sort of sleepy.
Yeah.
And again, this is the first time I've seen it other than my mom. So that's the whole world of my experience. But from what I understand, like that, my mom was pretty classic. You know, that it's mostly elderly people because it's a nursing home. And when people get to that stage at the very end of their life, within, you know, 1 to 3 days, typically the agitation is gone and the physical movements, like the big physical movements. My mom, the day before, though, was like doing the thing where she's reaching out to people that weren't there, which was, I'd heard of it, but to see it was really something. To see my mom like focus her eyes in at the ceiling and reach out was, it wasn't creepy or scary because it was my mom, but it was like, wow, that really happens, you know?
Yeah.
And she was, it was so, in hindsight, it was so perfect because Phoebe and the whole family came the day before she passed and she was giving hugs and kisses and it was really sweet. Not everyone gets something like that.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
I feel like my dad had a thing when he, but this was not toward the end. It was at the beginning when he first got diagnosed, where he was having, he was certain somebody, and I clearly it was a dream, and it was somebody from his past, his a relative, and I don't recall who, but he said he came in and sat down on the bed and, you know, said, hey, you're going to be all right. One of those kind of things. And he was certain that it was real.
He
felt that way.
I'm an agnostic, but I don't poo-poo it. You know, how do I know? And people do that a lot. My mom did that in the couple of weeks before she passed, where she would be looking at something. I would say, what you looking at, Mom? And she'd say, it's my sister, Marion.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't like, that's crazy. She's been dead for 2 years. I was just like, wow. Is she saying anything? Is she, you know? And my mom, for about a month before she passed, was solidly living in Benton, Illinois in the 1940s. And every experience she was having, and every night, and they weren't all great. Like, people kept taking her to parties and leaving her. Couldn't find a ride back and stuff. And I'm like, well, that's how Marion is, you know? And she's like, oh, you know it.
No.
Hey! 121 DGS. Can I hurt you guys with an injury I got this morning?
Oh,
so this isn't to be too bad.
No.
Like, see this on my head right here?
Yeah.
It's the way I got it that's bad.
Oh.
So in one of my bathrooms downstairs, I don't use that much. Is it called a medicine cabinet? The mirror that opens? Okay. And I opened it to get something.
I see where it's going.
Left it open.
Nope.
Sat on the toilet.
And then stood up.
Stood up.
Into the corner.
Right into the corner.
Oh.
And it only smashed and bruised it.
Yeah.
You know how head wounds are.
Yeah.
I thought
they couldn't bleed. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like stitches and the whole thing.
Was it bad enough for that you had that moment where you just like stunned for a second?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, no!
Yep.
Hate that feeling.
What word did you use?
GD.
Oh, man, you went light.
That's my go-to.
Pretty light. Is it?
I use GD. It's so funny we're talking about this. I only use GD against myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I may say F you or something like that or WTF, but when it's me, GD. That's and I think I take that from my dad.
Yeah.
My dad was a connoisseur of GD.
Okay.
Yeah. He could he could wield it like a sword.
My grandpa used to combine them all.
Yeah.
It was GD, SOB, UMF. I mean, it was a string of them.
Wow.
Yeah, he got all of them.
I get all the letters too.
Yeah. Sounds like
sometimes I even invent new ones.
Sounds like Andrew with the AI voice machine where you can just take people's voices and he just strings them all together.
Yes.
Joe Biden, he likes to make...
Joe Biden went on a rant today.
Yeah.
Thanks to Andrew.
Is that what he does with his time?
That's exactly what he does.
And most of the time it ends with Biden or Ben Shapiro cussing out Chris Ranji.
Didn't he make Trump do it today?
Was it Trump? I know Ben Shapiro and Joe Biden.
Yeah,
both.
you were looking for a Ben Shapiro that could say mean things to Ranji.
Amy, you were out when this happened, but I now know what it's like to be you because I witnessed an actual fight start and come to fruition between these two this morning.
Yeah, and how was it?
Want me to do it for you?
Sure.
Okay. So
in an Irish accent.
Yeah, how can you do that? Ranj says to me, have you ever been to Detroit? I said, I've never been to Detroit. He goes, it's really pretty nice, you know? It's like I spent time downtown. It's really pretty nice. Andrew spins around.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, I'm so sick of you. You don't have any idea what Detroit is like. You were there for one day. And Chris, who kept his cool pretty well, goes,
Wait. You think he kept his cool pretty well?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
The extended string of MFs, FUs, I wish you
very calmly spoken, all of them.
That uttered out of his mouth for the next hour.
That was like the third round.
That's calm?
Yeah. At first he's like, well, I was there for a day and a half and I got a pretty good look. And then Andrew, I loved this one. It took me back to law school. He goes, okay, so you know what Detroit's like for that day and a half, but no other days, which I thought, There's merit to that, but it's kind of a silly argument.
There is merit to that. These two. See, here's the thing. Once again, we must point out the fact that.
But also, Andrew spent zero days there.
That's
nobody
right.
else.
So he knows better. He knows better about Detroit, Michigan than I do. He's been
Share
there
the
zero
office
days
with Goofus and Goofus 2 here. That they go on vacation to different cities for a day and a half, and then they return here and they go, St. Louis is trash compared to those other cities. You have no idea what
that's
it's like to live in those
cities.
That's
actually not at all what I said.
That's what Amy did when she went to Kansas City, earlier this year.
Oh,
that's what
yeah,
you did said, coming back from Detroit. You're like, I want to do a big thing about how much better Detroit is than St. Louis.
I was disillusioned. It's because we're like, we're so great. And then you're like, oh, man, we are falling behind.
Vacation. Everywhere's great on vacation.
Well, I wasn't on vacation. You weren't on vacation.
You were just out of town in a city for several days not going to work. No, it's not vacation. You're right. I'm wrong.
Okay.
Well, see how they are with each other?
They're like a bad couple.
It's ramped up so quickly.
Yeah, they don't argue like buddies. They argue like a couple. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Andrew, answer that phone.
There's
I like
a lot
it.
Of resentment.
So, it was a...
Yeah. Yeah.
Just making the point that Detroit used to be considered the worst.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Place in America for a long time, Kevin, you know.
I'm from there, yeah.
Yeah, so you know. But it is, and every person I have spoken to who either lived there or I know who lives there, even the driver who took me to the airport at the end, he said, what did you think? And I told him, and he said, when I was here, I moved here 30 years ago. 10 years ago, nobody was coming downtown unless there was an event. And I said, it's funny you say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we say about St. Louis
now. That's the big change in the last 10 years.
So there's a lot of, I mean, the reasons it went to hell are a little different than our reasons.
But they're not far off.
Do we know how they brought it back? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Caller would like to back me up. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They support me.
I'm sure.
I doubt this goes the way you think it's going to go.
Yeah, probably not.
Let's talk to Eric on line one. Hey, Eric, go right ahead.
Hey, haven't talked to you guys in a while. So, Ronch, you really, really shouldn't have told Andrew to answer that phone call, man. Like, I lived in Flint for a good number of years, 5+ years. And, yeah, it does have its good days, but it's not too far off from St. Louis, man, to be honest with you.
Well, Flint's like 90 minutes from Detroit.
Well, yeah, but let's be honest. If you wanted to have fun, you had to go to Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. Flint's
but
not a lot of
when
fun.
Did you, the point, when, Eric, just a, when did you live there?
When did I live there?
Yeah.
It's been over 10 years ago now.
Okay, so that's the point.
It might have changed. I'll give you that.
No, everybody who lives there says it's a lot different in the last 10 years.
Yeah, they've had a lot of different things that went into it. I mean, they built up an entertainment district around a bunch of brand new sporting events, right? So their baseball stadium, the football stadium, they have a new hockey basketball stadium. All of them are kind of in the same area next to the Fox Theater. They have casinos and restaurants there. There's an entertainment district.
It's not just that. I mean, moving away there's a lot going on.
They've redone a lot of, like, there's been a lot of people that move from the suburbs to the city with kind of like a reinvigorated, like, neighborhoods
it's
and
probably,
things.
I imagine it's a lot like, and I wasn't here when it happened, when Wash Ave had a rejuvenation, right?
Yep.
There was a time where people were moving to Washington Avenue, and I heard about it from a distance, but it is not like that anymore.
Rach and I went for our little walk today, and we were observing that we are in the worst part of downtown.
Yes.
Where we are, Midtown's better, downtown's better, more lively and prettier stuff by the ballpark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is, my perception is shaded by the fact that I'm in the absolute worst part of downtown.
Yes, because if you go down by the Arch, it's nice by the Arch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the ballpark
City Garden
area is
a
nice.
Jewel.
Yeah.
But to have it, the middle of downtown be a black hole with nothing, that's a...
Right across from City Hall and the hockey arena,
But there's for DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Thanks to everyone who has donated so far. Only been one day to the Men Wear Pink, which is raising money for American Cancer Society. I'm one of the ambassadors, and you can find that on our Facebook. There's a link there, so anyone who has been affected by cancer and like to drop in 10 or 20 or 50 bucks, I would appreciate it. And I'm putting together a couple of packages involving the Cardinals and probably Capital Grill, and I'll be selling a couple of those to get to my $2,500 goal. So, but would love whatever you guys can do between now and then would be great. So we're not going to be living to 200 years, Rach?
No, scientists are saying that we have pretty much plateaued when it comes to life expectancy, which is interesting because you always hear people say like, oh, by the time you're in your 90s, you'll only be halfway through your life. But no, we're plateauing. So
I think that's kind of good because you live 150 years. That's a lot of time to fill.
I was thinking of it more like, well, if nobody dies, you're going to have 14 billion people here not long, and it's going to be pretty crowded.
I wouldn't mind going another 150. I'd like to see how this goes.
You're going to have to work till you're 110 then in order for us to afford it.
Yeah.
You can't afford all the
That's a good point, too,
people.
Right? You can't be retiring in your 60s if you're going to live till you're 150.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, it's a little different now, but say like in the classic 70s, 80s, when you would work from the time you were 20 until you were 65 and you'd die about 75. Do you think that system was set up by the man? Like, this is how we were going to do it. And then you're going to have retirement and Social Security, and we're going to basically milk these people to work their entire lives and give them 10 decent years. Or is it just the way it shook out based on thousands and thousands of different criteria?
I think the old way was business owners, the people that were the, you know, the titans of industry, they would have just worked you till you died. But then collective bargaining came in and we're like, no, we're going to get something. We're going to get some kinds of protections and some kind of ability to stop doing this before we die, kind of thing. Because in the olden times, what would you say? Anything that's 1800s and before, you just worked till you died. They didn't have pension plans. You didn't have a retirement plan in 1712.
It's a good point. I guess you did just work on the farm or in the family business until you could no longer
physically do it. Until they had to take care of you until you died.
Well, because you had to keep reinventing the labor system as like technology and industry, right? I mean, we're even seeing that now, right? With AI and what's going to be automated. So that keeps changing. And also there are different cultural priorities because, yeah, you could say like, oh, Americans, we work so much. Well, we do. There's a lot of innovation, a lot of money, a lot of business. A lot of people are driven that way. And culturally, we have tended to value success and equated success with career success, so with the amount of money that you're going to make. But there are other cultures that they still work, but it's a different emphasis. Like in Australia, everybody takes off Friday or you're done working by lunch on Friday. There's more vacation time in Europe. There are going to be different aspects of work and leisure life that are going to be emphasized. It doesn't mean you don't have to work over there. Well, you do, but you're going to put an emphasis on different aspects of that. And in America, we do focus a lot on work and work success and innovation and even businesses and startups. Think of how many hours they're working constantly.
When I first became aware of the millennial generation, which is probably about the time Rach joined the show, it was us and Mark Close, and Mark would go off on how lazy and the whole trope that we're all well aware of. I feel like that's gone now. Like, you guys are now grown adults and you're working, and that's just not true. With Gen Z, it seems to be that they're not going to work as hard, but it's by choice, and it's valuing their time and their life over work. First question, do you think that's going to hold true, or do you think they'll go the way that the millennials went? And two, if it did hold true, would it really affect society if they just really did back off on work and just focused on their lives?
I think it would just mean that it looks more like what Amy's describing in Europe. I mean, it's because there the drive is not, I want to get as wealthy as I can and have the biggest house that I can. It's just a different vibe. They would prefer the day-to-day. I'm going to have my nice long 2.5 hour lunch, and we're going to spend a lot of time doing this. We're going to have 3 and 4 week vacations in the summer. Like, they prefer that style as opposed to you know, where we are as an average rule, which is how many big cars can I get? How big can my house be? How much money can I make? We're just more that way.
And they're healthier that way.
You know,
they less stress.
Would you guys be shocked if I told you that I saw this recently. These are real numbers. This is not just like an observation that we spend more time with our children now than any generation ever has.
Oh, that's so obvious.
So 1965, a mother would spend 54 minutes a day caring for kids, and a father would spend 16 minutes a day. And now it's 7.5 hours per day for mothers and 5 hours a day for fathers.
Where were we?
That's the point. It's kind of like what you describe quite a bit, Dave, is, you know, where, and this was how I was too as a kid. I didn't have my parents around me constantly. We just went out and did things. So if it was a summer day, if it's a school day, obviously you're not home very much, right? Mm-hmm. But like think of a school day when my mom wasn't working. We'd get home from school. Mom is there, not always actively taking care of you, but, you know, being around. Well, then she started working, and she would get home at 5:30 or 6, and then we would have practice, or we would have something where we're going off to basketball or whatever. Like, it wasn't nonstop, and apparently now it's basically nonstop because you're the one taking your kid there. You're not dropping them off. You're going to be there with them, and you're going to do and the scheduling is greater, and it's fascinating because then parents get blamed for, you know what, not raising their kids right, which is interesting because maybe right is less.
Well, like, it's imagine using the phrase when you were a kid, a play date.
Right.
that didn't happen. I don't know. There's a lot of different parenting, you know, theories that every generation gets through the new theory and the gentle parenting and the helicopter parenting. And what I don't like is if there's an idea that, you know, the world revolves around the kids, or that specifically the parents' life revolves around the kids. And you see that a lot to different degrees, whether it's, you know, sports or just life or parent being available all the time. We were definitely raised like it was mom and dad's world and we were living in it.
Yeah, yeah.
There was never a question.
And that's, to me, that's what it should be. Like, it should not be it's the kids' world and now everyone's going to bow to the kids' desires and schedules. And it also doesn't prepare them for real life because guess what? The rest of the world will not bow to your kids'
schedules. One of the arguments that was made in the thing that I saw was it's not so much parents bowing to the kids. It's parents bowing to peer pressure, essentially.
Yeah,
they don't want to be the parent that's not doing enough.
Right.
Yeah. Which effectively is sending the same message to the kid, is that the world revolves around me, and it doesn't. It doesn't. And I do think we, even when, you know, there was the big push with like everyone gets a trophy, right? That turned into this whole,
which is also a parent driven thing, right? Because kids don't even care.
Right. But also like you be a straight shooter. Your kid can't be everything. You can try and work hard and see where you have talents and proclivities, but you know, you can't be anything you want to be. You got to work hard. You got to try hard. I know this, you know, a kid came to me and was like, I'm the worst one on my basketball team. And you go, oh, no, you're not. I go, well, that's because you don't practice. Now, you said you don't practice. It would be weirder if you were a good basketball player, because you don't practice. And that's like the type of straight talk that I think parents are afraid to have, can be. And I also think losing and failing is so important.
Yes.
You have to build resilience. And if you try to protect your kid from sadness, if you try to protect your kid from failure, what you're doing then is everything's relative. So then when something really little happens, like maybe they didn't get a slice of cake that's the same size as their friend, because you've protected them from every hardship or inconvenience possible, that to them is the biggest thing that can go wrong, and it turns into a huge deal because they have no perspective.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of hardship and resilience. It's good. It's okay. Teach kids that failure is not final. It's
all
okay.
It's so much about expectations and standards. When I was a kid, if at 7 p.m. my mom and dad walked into my room and said, hey, buddy, what do you feel like doing tonight? I'd be like, what the hell is
what's happening?
Are you getting divorced?
What's happening?
Yeah. Am I dying?
Are you getting divorced? That's right. That would be the first, like, okay, something weird's happening.
Why are you in here?
Yeah. And it's like, I always think that they're my parents had a good balance of it, right? Because my dad liked to do things with us. It was mostly me and my brother. My sister wasn't born until I was 18. So, yeah, we would go to play catch, or we'd go take batting practice, or we'd go to a ball game or whatever. But it was not like 7 days a week we're going to do this on Monday, this on Tuesday, this on Wednesday, this on Thursday. I had my practice schedules and my brother had his, and you had these things, but it wasn't like we're going to be a part of everything you do. It was, we're going to drop you off at that.
Yeah. I have issues with some of my mom and dad's parenting, like every human in the world, but it was never about you didn't do enough stuff with me. I couldn't have had less of an appetite for that. Yep. I had buddies, I had baseball, I had just me playing with the Planet of the Apes guys. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I had a pretty full schedule.
And it's good to know your parents have a life outside of you, because I also think that's a really bad message to send.
It's a good lesson for kids to learn that.
Yeah.
And the world doesn't revolve around you.
That's right. And also, you don't want to teach kids that, and by the way, once you have kids, your life's over. Your personality's over.
Marina and I never went back to Mexico or Jamaica when Phoebe was born. Never went back.
Oh, because I'm in between. I think I raised my kid a lot like my parents raised me, which was, she was just a part of our life. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably did more for her just because of that. But I never felt the pressure like, oh, you got to keep up with what the other parents are doing. And they're all doing this, because it was pre-social media. So I didn't know what anybody else was doing, and I didn't care what anybody else was doing, because it wasn't in my face all the time. So I'm lucky in that sense that I was just before that. But I do think that's a big part of it, is this exterior pressure that you see on TV to be like the Joneses.
Sorry, I didn't see Max holding there. Max says that the Social Security age... Oh, I'll let Max say it. Max, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Big fan of the show.
Thanks, buddy.
When Social Security was written in 33, 34, the life expectancy was only 65.
Wow.
So that's why... I mean, you weren't expected to use more than a year or maybe two of Social Security.
Yeah, that didn't work out well. That did not work out well. Thank you, Max.
Yeah.
Want to get your thoughts on the MLB playoffs here. But first, you know how you go to a casino and you can bet red or black? If I gave you a $100 bill and said, next year, Cardinals, playoffs, not playoffs, which one are you putting it on?
If I had to pick one or the other, I would probably pick not playoffs. But I still think it's kind of a coin flip. Because there's just so much you don't know. You don't know what other teams are going to be. You know, does it take 84 wins to get in, or does it take 90? You know, every year is a little different. I would say, though, given the plans to reduce payroll, focus on player development, I think your likelihood goes down. And then you combine it with the fact they've missed the last couple years and say the odds are pretty good that you won't.
And I imagine I'm going to stop betting against Milwaukee for the foreseeable future. I'm tired of saying this is the year they stink.
Yeah, they lose their manager, they lose their best pitchers, and then it doesn't matter.
They're going to have to prove to me they stink before I agree to it. And
did they prove it by losing in the playoffs right away?
Well, no. I mean, in terms of winning the division, they're still the team, probably, depending on what the Cubs do.
Yeah.
And they could start spending money. That's the thing you got to worry about.
They have that ability if they choose to,
Right.
Is the Padres-Dodgers kind of the story of the playoffs so far?
I mean, the whole playoffs are amazing. I mean, every series is 1-1 after two games. So you've got competitive series. You got that one's got the sauciest series.
They don't like each other.
They hate each other. And, you know, you had Jack Flaherty in the middle of it in game two where, in game one, where he gave up a couple home runs.
Is Jack okay?
He's always been kind of a...
He's got a bit of red ass to him.
Yeah, he's kind of had the ass for a long time. In some ways it's good, in some ways it's not. There's so many players before that have had that. Like, if he was a 1960s player, people would be like, oh yeah, he doesn't take any crap from anybody. But now everybody hates him because, you know, nobody does that anymore. Let's be honest, he's also a little bit of a whiner at times. But he got mad, I guess, because he was giving up homers and he drilled Tatis, and the Padres thought it was on purpose, and he started yelling at Machado, and Machado's like, I'll meet you in the parking lot, buddy. And then later in the game, we had the fans throwing stuff at Padres players at Dodger Stadium. Yeah. You had Manny Machado take a ball during warmups and throw it at the Dodgers dugout. Which was not a violent throw, right? It was not a dangerous throw. If it had hit Dave Roberts in the face, he'd be fine. It was like a little hopper. But he was just being a little jerk. Like, he's being an ass. And that's what this series is all about right now, is the edge. These two teams hate each other. And they're both good.
That's great.
I know. I love that.
It's great.
Yeah. Just keep the people in the stands from throwing stuff. And we're good.
I thought you said, for some reason I heard you wrong, or my brain filled in the blanks. I thought you said he drilled Tatis in the Padres. Which sounds like
no, no, yeah.
No one needs that.
No. You never want to get hit in the Padres. That's a bad thing.
Well, that's happened.
Yeah. Every guy knows that feeling. You don't want to get in the Padres.
Well.
Especially a little bouncer. Those can be the worst.
Oh, the one hop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a straight
on kind of. Yeah, the ones that just kind of graze.
Yeah.
Those aren't good.
Really? You graze the Padres.
Nope.
Really?
Delayed response.
You didn't know that?
Oh, Amy.
Wait, so a one hopper to the Padres is worse than
nothing
if you just
worse than
it?
A glancing blow.
Really? Yes.
I
don't know what it is
that.
About that.
Well, you get the delay.
Just kick me.
You're like, yeah. You're just, like, you're yes. like, am I all right? And then you're like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kick me like one of those Shaolin monks who could take it straight to the junk. And I would rather have that.
The Padre that didn't get hit's like, oh,
yeah.
Dang, yeah. Terry, you okay? Yeah. No, not really.
I have no idea.
Oh, Amy. It's
well, sorry,
awful.
You can understand why I didn't know
we
this.
We could do this. We could take phone calls from guys for an hour.
Yeah. I can't believe nobody told you.
This guy will come on to me like this one time at band camp.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.